This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Leadership and Education Conversation. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, and then Barbara Dale Jones, CEO of Bridge. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Adrian.
Good to have you with us. And our special guest today, we'll introduce him in a moment. Last week we spoke about corruption in schools. There's a podcast for that. That was interesting. A bit of an eye-opener, Barbara.
Yeah, it's an alarming situation, and the current issue that's going around that we spoke about last week about the jobs for cash report.
I was just going to ask about that. So are we going to do something about that, chat about that?
I think we need to do that. We need to get SATU in and some of the other teacher unions, but particularly SATU, because they've been so strongly named in this report. And I think this is also an opportunity to talk to John Folmink and find out about the report and its recommendations.
Let's get them on. Yeah, yeah.
We need to have an engagement about that.
I like John Folmink. I met him in Cape Town once. All right, so that's a podcast you can listen to, and let's go to the Jobs for Cash conversation soon. Of course, the political parties are jumping on top of that, but that has to be handled.
Just to also say that another thing that's been happening recently in Gauteng is a focus on the Twinning Schools Initiative. You'll remember that sometime last year we had two of the twinning principals on.
Tell us about that. Our show was all over, wasn't it? At some event over the weekend.
That's right. So there was a colloquium held at the Sunnyside Park Hotel on Saturday morning where the MEC spoke, and it was a colloquium showcasing the twinning initiatives. There are currently six schools in Gauteng that have been twinned in three pairs, and we interviewed last year the principals of Lyndhurst and Beauvais primary schools, and they were obviously two of the schools that were profiled on Saturday, but there's two other pairs of schools, and it'll be really great if we can get all of those principals on the show at some stage to talk about what have been the advantages of twinning. The whole purpose of twinning is to try and drive social cohesion. The MEC is determined that the vestiges and remnants of separation and two-tiered systems are going to be removed in Gauteng, and that this is going to be one of the ways in which he ensures that. So it's social cohesion, but also really allowing the development of learners in the holistic development of learners. And we heard some great stories of change that have happened as a result of the twinning initiative on Saturday.
A long way to go, though. I mean, this is beginning stages.
But Barbara, those two principals we had on the show was really an inspirational experience to see how much passion they have for it and the results they're getting as well.
All right. Okay, in the studio today, our special guest is Murray Thomas, who he's been the principal of St. Peter's College, if I have my information correctly, and deputy principal at, is it Le Bon College?
Le Bonnet College.
But now he calls himself something much better, and that's an educational consultant. Before, I think next year he's going to be a principal at another school. We'll talk about that in a moment. But welcome, Murray Thomas.
Thank you. Thanks, Adrian.
What the heck is an educational consultant? I mean, do we need lots of them? Do we need less of them? No, jokes aside, what do you actually do now?
So I'm involved in a few projects. At the start of the year, I was involved in a curriculum development piece of work at the American International School up in Midrand. And working in language arts, they call it, as an English teacher. But more importantly, for the bulk of this year, I'm involved in a collaborative piece of work with the Access Education Summit, which is being hosted by the Witt School of Governance and the School of Education on the 10th to the 15th of July. So helping on some logistics there. Whole range of different players, stakeholders coming together, talking around trends and work and with a strong focus on young teachers or aspiring teachers and the development that we can offer them.
Okay. So as an educational consultant, maybe you can't speak on all matters with authority, but sure. What are you seeing out there? You find yourself in schools a lot, and you've got your principal background, but it's different now, isn't it? A bit of an outside-in approach as opposed to being a principal.
Yeah. So what it's offering is just an opportunity to stay connected with multiple areas of influence. And, the landscape of education, certainly as a head of a school in the independent sector, can be quite isolating. And the opportunity to stay plugged into the work of schools that are both in the public sector or larger bits of work, communities of practice that Bridge facilitates, all of that's super healthy. And I think the greatest learning for me this year has been to never shy away from opportunities to stay both locally engaged in the responsibilities of your local school and what the stakeholders demand there, but also to engage in the larger project of social cohesion and change in our educational landscape. And that's tough. Not all independent school heads have that luxury, and this year is a gift for me to understand and think around those issues.
Yeah, and I guess by the time you go back into it again and you put the mantle drops and the hat is put on again as a principal of, what is it?
Rodine School for Girls.
Rodine School for Girls.
Yeah.
You might have a different context.
Absolutely. And I think that's a key issue too, is just to make sure that you're always locally relevant. So the connected theme is one key thing around heads and leadership. And the other thing is understand your context. You can be firing as a head or a potential leader in an environment and then find that your new constituency, the new set of relationships, priorities, strategic imperatives can shift enormously. And so being flexible and being a quick lifelong learner is key in part of that. There'll be different emphases at different time periods.
We talk to principals here often, and we talk to the cream of the crop in many instances, obviously. And it just seems like it's a job that you can't pay me enough to do.
Yeah.
No, it really is, in a way, thankless. But yet some of them, because of their passion for it and because they really want to make a difference, because they're authentic, in a way, they actually make you envious. You think, boy, that'll be a great job to have.
Yeah.
But another part of me says, why would you want to go back? This is really difficult. Although you're going more on the private side, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an easy place to be. The kids are different. Mm-hmm. Parents are different. The country is different. The context is different. Everything is more challenging, but maybe more exciting.
Yeah. So, I mean, certainly there's all sorts of needs that different spaces require one to be thoughtful around. I have been inspired throughout my life as an educator of 25 plus years with great role models, and they've come both from independent sector, where I've worked, to my international exposure, where I've worked overseas in various places for 12 years. And even today, I mean, heads and principals and leadership teams, ultimately, because it is a team thing. It's not about a standalone person out in front, who work together, who, in a sense, it sounds a little dramatic, but we'll go to war with one another. And that collegial connection is part of why we get drawn to this. It is a vocation. There's deep idealism in what we do. Mm. I happen to be working, in a particular school, or will be in time. But I'm very conscious of the 900 lives that I have an opportunity to influence. And it echoes an eternity. Again, it sounds somewhat idealistic, but without a doubt, we're going to shape South Africa's future.
It's actually frightening because it's not 900 lives. It's thousands of lives in the future. And I guess you have to keep that in mind when you deal with the day-to-day challenges. What we want to explore today, as a person who's come from teacher to being a deputy principal to becoming a principal, now you're outside and you're going back as a principal, that movement from being a teacher to entering the management team, and then eventually a principal. I mean, tell us about that. Is that not a massive, what's the right word I've got, a big jump in our schooling system?
Yeah, no, it is.
It's like being I don't know how I would compare it in the corporate environment. I mean, is it like being a mid-manager and then suddenly being the CEO? Or, how big is this jump that leaders experience, that you experienced?
Yeah, it can be significant. I think there's no doubt that there's always going to be learnings. Even as an experienced principal moving from one school to another, there's a whole range of unlearnings that you have to go through, and then new learnings. But just to take it back a step or two, I think to say there's a big shift and maybe a disconnect between teaching and then being a school manager, one hopes that one never loses touch with the ultimate focus, and that is classroom craft and this idea of practice. So I'm certainly not a manager in my a CEO sort of thinking cap, just only thinking around strategy and finances and material issues. I'm ultimately worried about young people and their future. So I don't lose hopefully the common touch with young people. So certainly the work that I did a few years ago in the American Charter School Network with the Coalition for Extraordinary Schools, we went to go and do some peer evaluation of schools and develop an instrument. In America, those charter school heads are called instructional leaders. So you hope that as a principal, you stay focused on issues that are strategic and governance related, but ultimately it's children and it's the quality of education at the coalface that matters.
Hmm. Okay, because I'm interested in how do we make up those gaps? How do we prepare a teacher well enough to then be a leader in a school? But Barbara, you have any questions here for Murray?
Well, more than a question, really a comment, just to say that it's vital for South African education that we start developing a real cohort of young leaders. And that's part of what is exciting about the Access Summit that Murray's been speaking about that's coming up in July, is that there's going to be an aspiring teachers engagement, but also an aspiring young leaders engagement there. So young leaders who are self-identifying or are being identified as potential future leaders are going to be able to come together and form networks and communities of practice. And in my view, this is absolutely vital for South African education, is to get that kind of developmental space going for a young cohort of leaders. Because actually, we've got a very middle-aged cohort of principals at the moment in South African education. And over the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to be in trouble unless we sort out, you know, a whole new batch of leaders for the sector. But I think it's a truism to say that it's that good teachers don't necessarily make good principals. So, but at the same time, you know, you never quite know who's going to be a good leader until they're in the position of leadership. It sort of cometh the hour, cometh the person.
Yeah.
So how does one sort of identify that? How do you groom that and fledge that and get that going in a young teacher? Yeah.
So if I reflect back over the years, almost to year one, I mean, I finished in the Eastern Cape at Grahamstown and then went to a very different context. I've always consciously chosen to put myself in a learning space that was different from the one I'd preceded, and was given the nod by an experienced head or school manager or a head of department. And there were multiple people like that along the way. It makes me consciously focused on identifying talent, and that can look different in different spaces. But we to your point, Barbara, we definitely do need to have a conscious, deliberate focus. And part of it's organic and loose, and it's a relational connection, but part of it can be structured. There are courses you can go on. There's a range of developmental opportunities that can be relevant, but there's no substitute for the mistakes that one makes and the ability to recognize and reflect on that and do it safely and honestly with whoever it happens to be. Silent partners, not silent to you, so very vocal to you, but silent in the sense that they don't necessarily betray your own sort of worries, but they're out there. They're good friends that can help develop you. So multiple layers are required.
So what do you think of the competences in you that made you know that you could be a leader and that have made you the leader you are today? Mm.
So if I think ahead to next year with the new role coming at Rodine School, that process was obviously driven by a board, and they reflect a very strong, formidably successful alumnus of women who've been significant in South Africa's history over time. And so my global connections, so the fact that I've worked in three different curricula abroad at one point, that I've had an opportunity to network and stay connected to a very focused African heartbeat, and that's the Royal Bafokeng Nation and the work in a developing context and teacher development work.
Did you work there?
I did work there,
okay,
yeah.
Because they have a pretty good reputation, I think.
Yeah, so that's Lebone College. That
That's it, okay.
That Lebone is the school of the Royal Bafokeng of the King.
I think I've been there to that lovely facility.
It is a stunning, Adrian. It's an inspirational story, but more importantly, it's a story that precedes my period. The Bafokeng have always been on the front foot of navigating complex social changes in South Africa, from land ownership to colonialism, and to have that forward thinking leadership. Ultimately, I was attracted by one person, and I hadn't met him yet, and that was the King. He's an amazing man in terms of his leadership and his capacity to think big and stay connected to making opportunities for the marginalized real. That's my motive for wanting to get involved in that space.
Barbara, I want to latch onto what you said, and I hope we can wrap our heads around this with the experience in the room. Bring Louis in. If I have two teachers, you say, how do you identify a teacher that would become a better leader, a manager in the school? If I had two teachers, one sees him or herself as a teacher. I'm a teacher. Okay, I'm passionate. That's what I always wanted to do. The other one sees him or herself as a leader in the classroom that teaches. So I'm a teacher in the classroom that teaches kids. So it's me and them. The other one sees him or herself as I'm a leader in the classroom that teaches. So I see myself as a leader of these children. That has to be a different mindset. I'm trying to get my head around it. Because of late, I've read up on this a bit, and And, you know, a leader in a classroom will be concerned about those children, even though it's difficult when you have 40 in your classroom, beyond just the school boundary. I would be interested in understanding every pupil as much as I can as an individual and understand their context so that I can teach the child, not teach the subject. So that I can teach the children and not the subject. While a teacher could very easily fall in the trap of saying, I'm an expert subject on subject matter and I'm teaching the subject. I'm teaching history. As opposed to I'm teaching history to children, to the future leaders of this country, to the future parents of the... it has to change your mindset if you see it from that angle. Your view on that, very quickly, Murray, and then we'll go to Louis.
Sure. Look, it's both. It's not either or. It's both and. So, you know, you're developing competencies in the whole child, their ability to understand the subject matter in order to jump through the hoops required for exam success and university entry. But there's values that come through. There's an ethical dimension. There's a sense of the child recognizing there's so much more potential in themselves than what they see, that it's potentially endless. But there's a time and space dimension. You know, you exist in a particular point in time in a social milieu for a reason, ultimately. That's what I believe. And making your contribution evident. What helps a person as a teacher, think more broadly around impact is just, have they managed to take colleagues along that journey too? Are they influential, not just with the young people, the students, but ultimately with their peers? Do they have a little bit of street cred in that sort of collegial space? And can they influence both in terms of thought and practice and have the organizational capacity, the skill set to take an institution on a journey forward? Mm. And it's team-based. You know, I've certainly made mistakes in terms of running ahead of a group. In some places, or vice versa, just feeling like I don't get it and I'm lagging. So being reflective is quite key, and critical. I think often teachers are almost their worst own critics. Great teachers.
Some good input there, Louis.
Murray, we appreciate what you're saying. By the way, I've got three grandchildren in the Singapore American school, and we quite experienced that. They're enjoying it. The principle of the leadership, remember, we see leadership as that part of all of us that makes situations move in a positive direction, not just a boss, etc. Sometimes they isolate, pupils become leaders, but they don't quite understand our point as to invoke that leadership ability in everybody to make a difference, to be fearless, to have what you call situational confidence. And this is completely value-based as well. What's happened recently in the leadership development field, we found a lot of people are realizing the incredible importance of values. The only thing remains the same values. Everything else changes around you. So hopefully the kind of spirit you have will be endowed. But the values are far more important than just the results, like at least the reports they get, because it's those values we find here. Hundreds of leaders we've interviewed, those abilities that drive them to the top, whether they did well or not at school, obviously must do as well as possible, but that's not the main gauge. It's the character behind it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we can all reflect on our own journeys, whether, you know, in a school environment, a significant person may have ultimately rubbed off some of their personality, character, insight around life, and more profoundly than subject matter being taught.
And that's, often that that's improves the subject matter anyway.
You become motivated as a child because of that.
Okay, so let's just kind of summarize. How do we bridge the gap between teaching in the best way, between being a teacher and then becoming a principal? I know there's probably one or two layers in between, but how do we best bridge that gap? Because every principal that sits here in general tells us their training is limited.
Yeah.
There's limited resources and so on, and they have to depend on things like the group conversations, what do you call it?
Communities of practice
and other resources, you know, twinning or whatever. What do you think, in your opinion, is the best? What bridges must we build there?
Yeah, I think, suppose part of it is just a simple challenge that, you know, as a head of a school, am I doing enough, and can I challenge my peers and other schools who are heads to identify people who ultimately could take over the school system? I mean, I've been so impressed with meeting some of these aspiring teachers at the Wits School of Education, who I know have the potential to become, some ladies in particular, who are on the Education Student Council, who will become ministers of education. And I'm excited about seeing the next 20 years of young folk like that taking hold of the opportunities. Critical thinkers, ethically guided, courageous, they're kind of happy to slay the giant of ignorance in our country, and that's what we need.
And how tough to be a real authentic teacher when you have 40 kids in your classroom. Surely those kind of challenges make it extra difficult.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are sort of logistical and practical constraints in every situation, but I think great teachers will find ways of solving those, and the locus of control should be as much internal. We can blame, you know, legacy issues. We can blame poor administration in a either a district or a departmental space. But a lot of good people are trying really hard in many spaces across
and succeeding
succeeding
in amazingly under-resourced areas. It's very inspiring.
You see, in a sense, that's defining leadership. You say great teachers find ways or solutions. Now, that ability to find ways and solutions to address any situation, that's really the core of leadership, you know, which may not be technical, but often it's more of a character and conviction and passion and things like that. But it believes, I can, you can, and we can do it. You know, this is so important in the spirit of our country.
Now, before we ask your final comments, Barbara, you know, Murray Thomas, we wish you well in... say it again, Rodin.
Famous
school
name
next
too.
Year. Yeah, I don't know why I'm not getting it right, but you start there in January, so you've got a bit of a gap year.
That's a great
And all the best with that. We hope it goes well there. Barbara, final comments on today's conversation.
Yeah, so Rodin is one of the great and famous schools of Johannesburg, situated in Parktown, and a very prestigious school. But I think it's great that somebody like Murray is going to take over leadership of a school like that, because he's had leadership experience now in very different contexts and working with marginalized communities. But I'm glad that he's also spearheading the Access Summit this year. And for people out there who are interested in learning more about it, go to globalteachers.org.
Correct, yeah.
And you can sign up and attend the part of the summit if you like. It's from the 12th to the 15th of July here in Johannesburg. And it's a great opportunity for young teachers and aspiring leaders to get together, share practice, and form networks with each other.
Okay, thank you for joining us. Thank you for that. All of you, appreciate the conversation. Look forward to being back next week. And let's get those Jobs for Cash people in if we can. It's probably going to be difficult with all these union guys. But look forward to being with all of you again next week. I think the 6th of June, 12 to 3, Leadership in Transformation Platform. Have a great week.
This is CliffCentral.com.